145. See you, folks. Thank you for coming. Psalm 145. Closer to the end of the book of Psalms there. Man, praise the Lord. It's been a good run, though, that's for sure. Psalm 145. I'll give you a second to find it. Good to see Miss Lisa. God bless you, Miss Lisa. Thanks for coming tonight. Good to have you. Psalm 145. And when you found it, would you please stand if you could? We're going to read the first two verses, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 145, verses 1 and 2. And God's word says, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 145 of the book of Psalms, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. And tonight, I want to preach on this simple thought, every day, have a word of prayer, and you can be seated. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. I thank you for loving us. Thank you for these dear folks you brought our way tonight. Lord, I pray you bless them, be with them. God, I pray that you help strengthen the people, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, you speak to the hearts tonight as only you can. Help the dear folks. Thank you for those who came. Be those who are ill, couldn't be here tonight. I pray you bless them as well. I think of those folks on the prayer list, many names on the list, Lord. But Father, I thank you that you are an amazing God. You are a big God, and you can handle each and every single one of these prayer lists. And I thank you for these prayer requests, and I thank you for it. I pray that you would continue to bless the service tonight. I pray you be with the folks who had surgery today. I think of Ms. Barb, help her, healing from the pacemaker surgery. Other folks are dealing with different situations as well. We love you and thank you. Now, also we ask in your name, amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. All right. Excuse me. If you look specifically at verse 2 this evening, which that's going to be as the title of the message alludes to, I want to focus on this verse as a central theme of the message. And verse 2 says again, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. And so David says in the beginning of verse 2, every day, and he continues by saying, will I bless thee? So just so there is no confusion here, when he says the word bless, that word bless means to kneel for prayer, to thank, to praise, or to salute. So what David is saying here is that every day he kneels in prayer to give thanks and praise to God. Every single day giving praise to God. When I saw that verse, folks, I'll be honest with you, it was very convicting. Every day giving praise to God. Rhetorical question, do we praise God every single day? Just something to think about there. So this evening, looking at this psalm, I want to focus on the reasons why we praise Him every day. Some reasons why we can and should praise Him every day. But before I get into that, let me just say, by way of introduction, if I can, we really shouldn't need a reason to praise God because God deserves our praise anyway. I'm meaning, I don't jump ahead of myself. Let me explain what I'm talking about if I can. Look at Psalm 145, verse 3, if you would. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Look at verse 11 of Psalm 145. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Look at verse 21 of chapter 145. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. There are two things that these three verses have in common. The first is that these three verses tell us to praise him and give him glory. In verse 3, greatly to be praised. In verse 11, talk of thy power. In verse 21, let all flesh bless his holy name. But secondly, which is the point of his introduction, I'm trying to get across to you, that in these three verses, we're not told to praise him for anything that he has done for us. Meaning that these verses don't tell us to praise him because he blesses us, or praise him because he's shown mercy on us, or praise him because he's quick to forgive us. Now don't misunderstand me, we should praise him for those things. Praise Lord when you see His mercy. Praise Lord when you see His forgiveness. Praise Lord when He blesses you tangibly or emotionally, whatever the case may be. And I'm all for those, and we'll address those in a moment. But again, in verse 3, we need to praise God because He's a great God. Look at verse 3 again, if you would. Verse 3 again. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I think of what Job says in Job chapter 9, verse 10. He says this, referring to God, which doth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Job says about God, he does things, doeth great things past finding out. We serve an amazing God. Just the fact that He's amazing deserves our praise. I think of Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9. Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9. Some of you, I heard these verses many times. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So again, one of the reasons why we praise God, because he's an amazing God. It has nothing to do with what he's done for us. The fact that he's just amazing deserves our praise. Back in Psalm 145, verse 11, we speak of God's power. Praise him for his power. Take your Bible, go to Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Psalm 2, verses 1 to 4. So we're supposed to praise him because of his power. Again, nothing that he's done for us necessarily, but praise him for his power. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. If you would, turn there briefly, and we'll come back to Psalm 145 here in a moment. Psalm 2, verses 1 to 4. It says this, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." Folks, the strongest of men are no match for the power of God. So we praise him because he is a powerful God. We serve an amazing God. Go back to Psalm 145 again. In verse 21, we're to bless his holy name or praise his holy name. Take your Bible again. We're all over the place. Go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. I love that sound of those pages rustling in the wind. Amen. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Talking about just praise him because of his holy name, how holy he is. Revelation 4, verse 8, if you would. This is the scene here is up in heaven. Revelation 4, verse 8. It says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." The Bible, that verse says that they rest not day and night. They never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, someone is saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." So again, the point I'm simply trying to get across is the introduction. If there were no blessings in our lives, which we have plenty of them, the Bible says he daily loadeth us with benefits. But if there were no blessings in our lives, we'd have reason every day to praise him simply for who he is. We serve an amazing God, folks. We serve an amazing, amazing God. So, but as I said earlier, I want to spend the remainder of our time to mentioning reasons we have to praise him every day. Things he does for us, reasons why we can praise him, or things he does for us. So let me give you a few simple thoughts here tonight. Number one reason why we can praise him every day. Praise him every day because of his works and the things he has done and is doing for us. We can praise him every day for his works and the things he has done and is doing for us. If you're in Psalm 145, look at verses 4 to 6. Psalm 145, verses 4 to 6. Psalm 145, verses 4 to 6. Praise him for his works and the things he has done and is doing. Psalm 145, verses 4 to 6. It says this, "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness." If you look in verse 4, it says this, "One generation shall praise thy works to another." The first generation praising the works, it gets passed down to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. I think of the works he's done in the past. I think of back there in Exodus chapter 14. Don't turn there, but Exodus chapter 14, the Red Sea. We've heard, how many of us, we grew up in Sunday school, heard the Red Sea miracle. I remember as a kid in Sunday school hearing a Sunday school teacher talk about the Red Sea, and they did such a good job just illustrating as a kid, and of course all as children, when we were kids, we had our imaginations run wild and picturing that wall of water just all the way up as far as you can see. And if you went fishing, throwing your fishing pole sideways into the water and, you know, type of thing, and just kind of picturing that whole thing. But those mighty works of past in Exodus chapter 14, when Israel was up against Egypt, the world power, and of course they were outnumbered, and geographically speaking, their back was against the wall until God came in and split that Red Sea in half, and they walked across on dry ground. Another example of his works of the past, in Joshua 6, the Battle of Jericho. And that was amazing. Who remember those wonderful stories in Sunday school? I remember hearing stories, the Sunday school teacher talking about, and different preachers talking about, that the walls of Jericho were so wide they could race chariots on top of those walls in Joshua chapter 6 there. And the miracle of God taking those walls and just making them fall down and giving Israel the victory. I think of Judges chapter 7, Gideon. I believe, if my memory serves me right, I believe it was 150,000 men, I believe if my memory serves me right, of the Midianites against 300 Israelites. Talking about being outnumbered sorely. And yet, God gave the victory without anyone even lifting a sword in the beginning against those Midianites. I think of 1 Samuel chapter 7, when Samuel and the Israelites were up against the Philistines. And the Philistines, I'm paraphrasing, told Samuel, pray to God, don't stop praying for us. And Samuel prayed, he made an offering unto God. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 7 that God destroyed, or he discomfited, the Bible says, those Philistines and gave Israel the victory. And again, all the glory goes to God for all those things he did. The Red Sea, Jericho, Gideon, Samuel against the Philistines. So we see, if you would, the works of God in the past being passed down from generation to generation. How about the present works? The things he's doing today. Can I ask you, friend, are we passing those down to the next generation? Parents, do we tell our children about what God is doing in our lives? Do we let our kids see how real God is? Look, hey, praise God for the Red Sea. Praise God for Jericho. Praise God for Gideon. Praise God for Israel and Samuel against the Philistines. But I say also, praise God for what God is doing now in our lives. Are we passing those down to the next generation? Letting the next generation know how good God is. I think of what is said in Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. It says this, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them. The point I'm trying to make is, listen, friend, when God blesses, and our children ask, or when God blesses, and our grandchildren are around us, do we let them know how good God is? We praise His name. Look, hey, again, praise God for the works of the past, but praise God for the works of the present. Don't let those things go by. Let your children, your grandchildren, let the next generation see how good God is. Brag on God. Let me show you one more thing. Look at Psalm 145, verse 10, referring to those works of God. Psalm 145, verse 10. It says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. Meaning, it's interesting how the verse reads, the works shall praise God. The works themselves shall praise God. And of course, my mind goes to Psalm 19, verse 1. Go to Psalm 19, verse 1, if you would. Psalm 19, verse 1. The works of God. Praise Him. Not the people. No one's mouth is opening. It's just the works themselves are praising God. Some of you understand when you see this verse here. Most of you probably do. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. This wonderful creation praises God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. How could you question if there is a God based on this wonderful creation? This world itself offers praise and tribute to how amazing God is. So again, we can praise Him every day, Mike. For every day we can praise Him. Why? Because of the works He does on our behalf. The works of the past and the works of the present. Number two, we can praise him every day for his compassions and his patience. You're in Psalm 145. Look at verse 8 if you want. Psalm 145, verse 8. It says this. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Now let me before I comment on Psalm 145, verse 8, let me take you some more verses. Keep your finger in Psalm 145. Go to Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 22. Matthew 18, verses 21 to 22. Again, praise him every day for his compassion and his patience. Matthew 18, verse 21 to 22. I'll come back to Psalm 145, verse 8 in a minute, but let me just kind of set the stage here. The second thoughts. Matthew 18, verse 21 to 22, if you would. It says this. Then came Peter to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So most know the verse here, but again, Peter, he comes to God, and he asks the question, what's the limit? You know, when do I stop forgiving? When do I stop offering up forgiveness to someone who does me wrong? And although Jesus Christ gives a number, 70 times 7, the principle he is getting across is there is no limit. That's a hard one for some people to swallow. Because our pride gets in the way. It always gets quiet when I talk about this. Our pride, I went to public school. Pride gets in the way. Our pride gets in the way. We need to have a spirit of forgiveness to others. For others. Now, if you were to keep reading in Matthew, and this is where it gets even more convicting. Look at Matthew 18, verse 33. And before I read it, there's a parable Jesus Christ gives, and most of them a parable. There's a king, and one of his servants owed a lot of money, a huge sum of money. And the king says, he forgives his servant, said, okay, I'll forgive you. And this servant goes out and finds another man who owes him a little bit of money. The servant who was forgiven much refuses to forgive the other person who owes him little. And of course, and look at verse 33, the king finds out, and the king calls that servant back in. He's furious. In Matthew 18, verse 33, the king says this, shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Friend, picture yourself being the servant and that king with a capital K. Jason Minkowski, shouldn't you have compassion and forgiveness on people who do you wrong when I have had so much pity on you? Victor. Now, if you're not convicted enough, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15, if you would. And I'll bring all this back to Psalm 145, I promise you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15. This is right after Jesus Christ gives his disciples what many people have phrased as the Lord's Prayer. That's what a lot of people call it. Matthew 6:15. After that, Matthew 6:15. Jesus Christ says this, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father, capital F, forgive your trespasses. That's very convicting. So, look at these two verses. You see, number one, in verse 33, you see the question asked by the king and then the warning that Jesus Christ gives. Let me ask all of us, myself included, an honest question. Do we forgive others? Is there a limit? And another question, are we quick to forgive? You saw the question that was in Matthew 18, 33, the king asked. I kind of paraphrase it, putting myself in the place, and all of us could certainly put ourselves in that same situation. The king, capital K, God asking us the question. We've been forgiven so much, shouldn't we be able to forgive others, which relatively speaking, in relation to our sins that were forgiven us, is very small. We've been forgiven so much, can't we forgive others things that are so small? By the way, folks, 9 times out of 10, when you won't forgive somebody, it usually, relatively, it's very small. I thought we forget about it. But should we, aren't we willing to forgive others something so small in relation to what's forgiven us so much? So much. And again, not to mention the danger in not receiving the Father's forgiveness when we won't forgive others. You're in danger. That's a strong statement that the Lord makes over in Matthew 6. Now, having said that, when it's hard for us to forgive others, when it's hard for us to forgive others, and yet we serve a God who is full of compassion and slow to anger, I believe when it's difficult for our flesh to forgive others, if you go back to Psalm 145, if you would, Psalm 145 and verse 8 again. Again, let me say it again. As you're going back to Psalm 145, verse 8. It's difficult at times for us to forgive others because of our pride. It's difficult for us, or easy for us to say, I have a limit. I've forgiven you once, I've forgiven you twice, I ain't forgiving you anymore. Forget it. And yet we struggle with it. Now look at Psalm 145, verse 8 again. Keeping that thought in mind, in verse 8 it says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The point I'm trying to make, folks, that should cause us to praise Him every single day. Because every day He's quick to forgive us. Every day He's quick to forgive and forget. He has no limit. He does not take His time in terms of, well, I'm going to think about it, well, I'll forgive them. You know what 1 John 1:9 says? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The minute you ask for forgiveness, it's gone. Yet we hold grudges. And listen, one finger's pointing at you, there's three fingers coming right back at me. Ends up with you. I look at these verses, I look at verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great. Every day there's forgiveness, quick and full. That should cause us to praise Him, that alone, every day. Thank you, God, that you're not like me. Thank you that you're quick to forgive. Thank you that you're quick to forget. There's no limit to your forgiveness. So praise Him every day. So number one, praise Him every day for His works and the things He has done and is doing. Number two, praise Him every day for His compassion and His patience. Number three, praise Him every day for heaven. Praise Him every day for heaven. Look at Psalm 145, verse 13. Praise Him every day for heaven. Psalm 145, verse 13. It says this, Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Here we read that the Lord's kingdom is forever, or as the Bible says, everlasting. And it never ends. And His dominion, which Strong's Concordance defines dominion as rule, realm, or domain. And that verse 13 says His dominion or His realm or His reign is throughout all generations. If I can make an application for this, my friend, God always was and always will be. And from the first created being who was Adam and Eve up until the last one who will be created, there will always be an opportunity for a soul to make heaven their eternal home. And it always has been and always will be through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God for heaven. Praise God for an opportunity for a person to trust Christ their Savior. Praise God for one day, a place where there's no more pain, no more heartache. Hey, I don't have time to get into it, but every now and then if you have a chance, you look at the golden hymn book and look on these wonderful hymns that deal with heaven. Amazing. So much truth in them, all Bible-based about this wonderful place called heaven. All glory, that's eternity. Somebody say, Pastor, why do you focus on heaven? Why are you talking about heaven? I love talking about heaven. I don't want to go there tomorrow, but I love talking about that's home, my friend. I want to see my grandchildren and my father have my kids out of my house, not eating all my food, praise the Lord. but look, hey, praise Him every day for heaven. Praise God for home. So number one, praise Him every day for His works and the things He has done and is doing. Praise Him every day for His compassion and His patience. Praise Him every day for heaven. And number four, last one, I'm done with this. Praise Him, praise God every day for His love for His own. For His love for His own. Look at Psalm 145, verse 18 and 19. Psalm 145, verse 18 and 19. Praise God every day for His love for his own. Psalm 145, verse 18 and 19. We'll finish with this last thought here. It says this: the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. You know what? And this is my own personal opinion. You take this and do what you want with it. But one of the most comforting parts about, specifically verse 18, when it says the Lord is nigh, he draws close. You know, we don't serve a God, forgive the expressions, like a grandfather in the sky way up who's so far away from us. We serve a God, according to verse 18, who draws nigh to us. And the verse says he draws nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Hey, listen, a person who says, Lord, I need your help. I'm calling upon you in a right spirit. I want to do right. I want to hear from you. I need your help. Would you help me? Would you protect me? I need your blessing. Whatever the case may be, the Bible says he draws nigh unto them who call upon him in truth. Then verse 19, I'll read it one more time. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also will hear their cry and will save them. Again, he'll fulfill the desires, hears the cry, and saves them that fears him. Those who are saved, those who have a regard from, those who have an honor and respect and a right attitude towards the Lord. God says he will, again in verse 19 there, he'll fulfill the desire of them that fear him. We serve an amazing God who wants to bless. We serve an amazing God who wants to protect. We serve an amazing God who wants to help. Folks, that's the type of God we serve. Remember that. I have a God we serve. That's very helpful when things happen in your life. You have no idea why. Very helpful when tragedy comes in your life. You're not sure why it happens. You know the type of God you serve. I serve an amazing God who draws nigh to them who call upon him in truth. He fulfills the desires of them who fear him. That's the type of God that we serve, my friend. How can you not praise him for that? You serve an amazing God. Now I'm done tonight. But we understand just the character of God, of who he is reason enough to praise him for all eternity. Because we serve an amazing God, a God who is holy, that's reason enough to praise him. But he is so wonderful and does so much for us that there's even more reason to praise him. Praise the Lord, my friend, for amazing God we serve. Let me ask you a question. Are you breathing today? Everyone do me a favor, do one of these things. Y'all have breath. Right? And if you don't, we have a problem. We serve an amazing, just the fact he's given us breath today, just the fact you're able to get to church today, he's given you a car to get into, he's given you a body that moves, he's given you a body that operates, he's given you a home to go to, food in the refrigerator, a place of work to go to tomorrow. He's blessed us tremendously. Folks, listen, every single day we can praise him. And again, I'll finish with what David said in Psalm 145, verse 2, every day will I bless thee. Every single day. Friend, did you spend some time praising him today? He deserves it. And I promise you, tomorrow he'll deserve it as well. Next day and the next day. Every single day. Let me ask you all back as you.